can never be told. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, precious, more precious than gold.
Who shall their greatness declare? The half has never been told. So much to tell, so little time to tell it. A great story. And I'm trying to be told by an earthen vessel. Seven persons' names in this story. Several people in this story, yet the story is really of one. The last one spoken of, the last one born, is really the first. The one this is all about. Two couples, two sons born. And an angel is sent to tell both couples of a son being born. Now, all of their lives, listen to me, all of their lives are connected. Each one of these persons, their lives are vitally joined together, connected in life by God's eternal decree and purpose and power for one reason. For one reason, for one purpose, for one person, the second son. He's really the first. Listen to Ephesians. And God hath abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. He's made known to us this purpose for all things, our purpose and all things. The mystery of His will He's made known according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted and cry. I've just told you the whole story. I've just told you the meaning of life, the reason this whole universe was created, the purpose for its existence is to the praise of the glory of the Son of the Most High God. And everything and everyone was created for that reason. You and I, all people, all places, all things are in God's eternal, absolute, unchangeable, predestinated purpose. All people and things, somehow to the praise of His glory, either in our salvation or our condemnation. All things are either going to be in His kingdom. All people are going to be in His kingdom, in His family, singing forever to the praise of the glory of Him who hath loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. No mention of anything that they have ever been or ever done or ever accomplished. Not one single human being saved by His grace is mentioning anything of man but all of Him. Because that's why they were saved. To declare that. Or, if they're not in that kingdom and not in that place in that day, somehow or another, they are related, somehow or another, their purpose is to give birth to someone who is, or in some way play some part in this life of the one who has been predestined and in His kingdom. And then when their purpose is fulfilled for that, for another person, they will be discarded and thrown away as refuse. That's right. And if you and I don't live now to acknowledge our God in some way, if it's not for His glory, His honor, His worship, His praise, we cumber the ground. And our purpose, and the Lord will be through with us someday. And so I say, and this is the message, because all have sinned, the greatest sin of all, rebellion against our Creator, and come short of the glory of God, which is to acknowledge our God and to live for and speak of the praise of the glory of His grace. That's our purpose. And so I say to all of us, every one of us, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Very near. It's all about the King's Son. It's all about His glory. And if we don't give Him any glory, He's done with us. But if we do, He's not done with us. We're going to keep us. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is a long chapter, a long story, and began much further back than this. It began in eternity past. At least, I hope the Lord will enable someone to listen. The story is one, the theme is one, the subject is one, as I said, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the story of salvation in Him. That's the story of this chapter. That's the story of the whole Gospel of Luke. That's the story of the whole Bible. That's why it was written. That's why, as I said, the whole universe was created. It's His story. All of His story is for the purpose of Christ to come into this world. The story of one, the Lord Jesus Christ. The story of salvation in Him. The story of salvation by Him. Who was to come, who did come, who's coming again. And this one angel named Gabriel, you know, he didn't give his name until a little later. Why? It wasn't important. It's not important that they know who he is, but they know the one who's coming. But this one angel was sent to tell of one who's coming before he came, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John is called great, and so is the other son. The one is greater than the other. Infinitely greater. And the only reason the first is called great is because he has something to do with Christ. But before the Lord Jesus Christ came, heaven and the angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts, they anticipated it. And when he came, all of them were sent to announce it. Well, only a handful believed it. Received. Boy, were they glorified. And while he was here, this one, God himself, out loud, he hadn't spoken for 400 years, as if he couldn't contain himself, spoke out loud to all heaven and earth to hear, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And when he died, the whole earth trembled. And the sun hid its face. And when he arose, the sun came up to him. And then he ascended into glory. And those ones who came the first time came to usher him back into glory. And there he sits right now, reigning and ruling over all. And this same God says, He's coming again. Anytime. Any day. You just don't know. He's coming. Coming again. Every eye shall behold Him, and every ear shall hear His voice, even those who would hear anybody but Him. They're going to be forced to hear Him. And every knee will bow, and every tongue that cursed him and wouldn't even acknowledge him. Every mind's going to be on him. Every eye's going to see him. Every ear's going to be forced to hear him. Be absolutely forced to acknowledge there he is. And whether they want to or not, they're all going to be made to say, he really is Lord. So you see, don't you? That salvation is now. Then, it's too late. All right, here's the story. Several things to see here. Several lessons to learn. One truth, okay? One truth. It's all related to Christ. All these little people, all these little parts that they played, according to the purpose of God, had something to do with Jesus Christ. All right? Verse 5 says there's a certain man and his wife. Certain old man. Just an old man and his wife. What an insignificant couple this is, huh? Aren't they? Just another old man and his wife. Just like these two down here on this front row. It's just another old couple. Oh, no, it's not. These are special. In themselves. Anything special about Zechariah? He's just another priest. There's a bunch of them. Elizabeth, just another daughter of Aaron, huh? Nothing. No. You know what made them special? You know what made them differ? You know what it was that made these people so special? God chose them. They're chosen. They were called. God sent an angel to them. Who? This old insignificant couple. Well, who are they? Nobody. But God chose them, came to them. Because they're vitally joined and connected to His Son. They are important to God. They're vital to God. Not in and of themselves. Not that they can contribute anything. But God chose them to be a part in this wonderful, predestinated purpose for His God's glory to redound to the praise and the honor and glory of His Son. They're a part of it. Chosen, called, vitally joined to His Son. And everybody in His Son is going to be gathered together in His Son. Some of them don't think they have any part. I'm sure Zechariah thought, Mom, I bet he thought, what good am I anymore? You reckon? I'm just an old man. I have no purpose in life. Doing the same old thing. You don't see what God says. You know, I'm not like most preachers that say you're special to God. You're special. You're a unique individual. No, you're not. No, you're not. I don't care what your mama says. You're not. There's a zillion just like you, bunch of sinners, bunch of worms. That's right. Jotted this little illustration down. Scriptures calls man a worm. He's not anything special. He is. The dog. We've had dogs. You've had dogs, haven't you? We had a dog recently that we chose a dog. We paid for the dog. Okay? And after having it 7 years, 17 years, you know what he was? A dog. He was rightly named. His breed was that he was a Shih Tzu. Appropriate name. But anyway, we had him for years. But you know what? We loved that dog. We loved that dog. We chose that dog. We paid money. You can find dogs everywhere. We paid money for this one. We redeemed it. And we loved that dog till the day he died. And we did everything for that dog. What did that dog do for us? What did that dog do for us? Oh, I know they're service dogs and they're rescue dogs and all that. When it was all said and done, If they're not trained, given, they're just dogs. I'm sorry, you dog lovers. It's just so. Your dog is not better than any other dog. It's just a dog. And you know how a dog's going to die? Like a dog. Same with human beings. But that dog gave us great joy. That dog gave us great pleasure. We love that dog. You know why we love that dog? You know how that dog gave us joy? It loved us. Does Zoe love you, Bonnie? I've seen her. I've seen her. You love her? It's just a dog. No, ask Bonnie. She'll tell you. That's my dog. Don't you say anything about my dog, huh? Isn't that right? But how do you get joy? How do you get gladness, huh? What good is that dog to you? It loves you. It looks to you. You do everything for it. You protect it. You provide for it. You feed it. You house it. You water it and do all that thing. It does nothing for you. But what? Acknowledge you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Huh? That's why we were created. But Romans 1 says, man. No. I don't serve the Creator, but the creature. Myself. I don't even think there is a God. Like all these dogs, it'll bite you. What good are they? What should be done with them? Huh? All these days. Fed and watered and housed. That's what Isaiah says begin. Oh, I brought up a people that rebelled against me. I fed them, I watered them, I protected them, I provided for them. I've given, 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 given. And then never one time from their heart given me thanks. In fact, they've robbed me of my glory. Proud. Conceited. Look what I've done. And if God doesn't change them, if God doesn't reveal to them, like Brother David's article in our bulletin. If God doesn't show them all the goodness, all the mercy, all the grace, the good parents, the good place they were brought up under to hear the good news of the gospel of Christ who came for worthless. If God doesn't show them, you don't deserve any of this. You deserve to be destroyed. But God, so rich in mercy and grace, if you call on Him right now, if you ask Him for mercy right now, if you tell Him, what should I say to Him, preacher? Say I'm sorry. Say I'm wrong. It's nobody's fault. Say I was ungrateful. Say help me. Huh? You know what He'll do? He's such a good dog. You've never done anything for His glory all your life. You know what He'll do? He'll have you. He'll take you. Come on in, dog. Come on in the house. You're mine forever. Isn't he a good God? Where am I? Well, it's the same story. A certain old man and his wife, chosen, called, vitally joined to the Son. Says in verse 6, they were righteous and blameless. They were calling on Him. And I think, as we said before, I'm just certain of it, that Elizabeth and Zachariah had given up all hope of having a child. You know that. You know it. And we did, didn't we, men? After 5 years, we didn't think we could have children. Well, forget that. It's not the Lord's will. Well, they'd given up. But what were they praying for? They were praying, verse 13 says, fear not, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. What were they praying for? You're going to hear Zechariah's prayer in a minute. They're praying for salvation. They're praying for mercy. They're praying for light in dark time. They're praying for the salvation of God's people. They're praying for the redemption of God. They're praying for deliverance from our enemies, from our captives. They were praying for salvation, Brother John. Whether God gave them a son, a child or not, that's not important. That's not vital. That's not needful. We don't need to have a child, but we need saving. And if we have a son, sure hope He saves him. That's what was on their mind. Don't need a son. Don't need a child. We need saving. I just told you the whole story. An angel was sent to declare unto them, verse 13, fear not, a son. He says you'll be have joy and gladness. Joy and gladness. You know that boy of theirs ended up getting his head cut off. Were they allowed to see that? Mary was allowed to see her son hanging in agony. That's what Simeon said, a sword's going to pierce your soul. What mattered about those boys? What mattered? One thing. Joy and gladness. Joy and gladness. Well, here's joy and gladness. Real joy and gladness. There are two sons, and here's a lesson in greatness. Are you with me? Here's a lesson in greatness, true greatness. Two sons born to two couples destined for greatness. As said, one is a whole lot greater than the other. Both lived for each other. You know that? They both lived for each other. John lived for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to come. Christ came and lived for John, that he might behold his glory. Both lived for each other. One first lived. He lived first. Born first. Or was he? No. He lived by the other. That's a mystery, preacher. Yeah, because the second, that wasn't his beginning. His beginning was way below. The child was born, but the son is given. Zachariah and Elizabeth, they wanted a child. Listen to me. The Lord didn't give them a child, but finally he did. And now they're expecting that child. Once they heard it, they were just like any other couple. Every one of you who has been given and blessed with a child, they wanted a child, but finally they were given a child. Like all couples, they were expecting this child, and their thoughts, they had many thoughts, they had dreams, they had hopes, they had fears, didn't they? For the child, what will he be? What will she be? What will she become? What's it going to be his name or her name? What will he do? What will he be? What will he accomplish? What will he be married? Will he have children? Will he have a home? What's going to be his occupation, right? And the Lord said through the angel, he's going to be great. Great. To who? God. In the sight of the Lord. That's the only greatness there is. Not he that approveth himself, but whom God approveth. And God said this about John. Listen to me. Listen to the scripture. You know what God says? That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. That every man at his best state is altogether vanity. So what is greatness? What is greatness? What does anyone have that they have not received? John's the one that said that. A man can receive nothing. They came to him thinking, calling him great. They came to John calling him great, sister. And they say, what's your name? He said, I'm nobody. Nothing. My name doesn't need to be mentioned. There cometh one that's greater than me. That's the purpose of my existence. But what's your credentials? A voice. My voice was created for one thing. He shall be great. greater than me, and I'm not worthy. John said, I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. He shall be great, Son of the Highest. What do you wish for your children? Greatness. The Lord said that to a fellow one time in the Scriptures, in Jeremiah, as a king. And he said, seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. He said, what you're going to be called to suffer is great sorrow for my sake. What do you want your child to be? What do you want for your child, for yourself? Productive life, people say that. I want them to live a productive life. I want them to help others. I want them to contribute to society. I want them to be a good member of the human race. Well, that's all well and good. But that's not why they create. It's all well and good. But that's not any good. So suppose they become a great builder and build great houses. That's fine. People need houses. Okay? We've got good carpenters. I'm glad our Lord was a carpenter. But every house ever been built is going to fall down. Doesn't matter how great the car. Suppose they become a doctor, okay, to help people. Help people get well. And all. I'm thankful for doctors. I'm thankful for these men. But you know what? They're all going to die anyway. They're not going to live any longer than what the Lord purposed for them to live. But there's one thing that lives on. There's one. Neither of these sons born, and I'm talking about greatness, neither of these sons lived a long life. 33 years. That was 30 years ago for me. 40 for Amy. Almost. Isn't that right? 33. You think 33, Lauren and some of you think 33 is old. Don't you? I think it's real young. Somebody dies at 33, that's a child, isn't it? Neither one of them lived but 33 years. That's it. What'd they accomplish? Who they lived for? Was it a productive life? Did they help others? Oh my, neither one of them owned one material thing. I told myself, self, you don't have to holler this. Yeah, we do. Because our society is consumed with stuff. And if the Lord doesn't take stuff out of us, the world out of us, we're going to be consumed with this stuff. My wife and I are getting ready to throw everything away, aren't we? We're going to start today. Yes, everything. You said it. We're going to go up in that attic. Ain't going to keep a thing. We're going to throw it away. Right? You said it. But it's a fact, people. It's a fact, isn't it? What are we living for? The Lord said, it's all going to be burned up. What manner, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, Peter wrote, what manner of person should we ought to be? Who are we living for? What are we living for? What's our purpose? Now, I'm not preaching a purpose-driven lie. I'm preaching Christ. Neither one of these persons owned a material thing. Yet, and John was never married. Neither one of them were married. Neither one of them had children. Or did they? And married to each other. Oh, the second one had children, all right. I'm one of them. Both of them were hated by the world. And both of them were brutally murdered by the world. But God called them great. Great. Didn't own a thing. Poor. But rich. Had riches nobody else knew. John's greatness, verse 16, says, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Oh, my parents, this son was from the womb. Can you imagine? from the womb came out. Can God save a young person? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know people that have been divinely impressed from an early age, and the Lord spared them, restrained them all the days of their life. God put the yoke upon them in their youth. What a wonderful thing that is, before the world gets a hold of them, before they do harm and damage and hurt and bring shame and reproach upon all around them, including themselves, upon God. What a mercy and grace of God that is. Now, it's not in the person. It's not because that person's great. It's because God is great. God in great mercy and grace, and restraining grace and constraining grace. John was given the Holy Spirit. John's born a sinner, but he was given the Spirit of God. And when you're given the Spirit of God, you have the mind of Christ. You have a heart for Christ. Your life is lived for the glory of Christ. Your whole purpose is to redound to the praise of the glory of Jesus Christ. So that's what John was all about. And God said, he's a great man. Great man. Doesn't matter what anybody else thought. That the whole world hated him, but God said, no, he's greater. Jesus Christ said, none greater. Didn't it? Why? Why, Mike? Because John witnessed of and testified and gave glory to Jesus Christ. That's why. That's it. He didn't build any building. He never healed a person. He never performed one miracle. Ever. Ever. Not one. What did he do? Preach Christ. God said, this is great. The world thinks what I'm doing, what we're doing right now, is just useless. God says it's great. So, here's the story. And John's name means highly favored of God. He's a son of the Most High God. What do you want for your children? What do you want for your children? More than anything else. What do you want for those girls sit beside you? One thing, isn't it? Does anything else really matter? You want them to be highly favored of God. You want them to belong to God. You want them to be one of God's own, don't you? So that they'll live a life, a productive life, a fruitful life. What kind of life is that? To the praise of the glory of His grace. That's it. Nothing else matters. It really doesn't. Because it's all going to perish. And he said, verse 14, you're going to have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth. Joy and gladness. How long did that last, that joy and gladness? John left them. He left home, went out to live in the wilderness. Son, don't you love us? I love him, Dad, Mom, but I'm on a mission. That was a heartbreak, wasn't it, to them, but it's God's purpose. Went out there. And then they saw him die, joy and gladness. You know, life goes so fast, doesn't it? When those children are first born, you remember it? It seems like a vapor, doesn't it? Like a sleep. And they grow up so fast. We had one daughter, as you know, Hannah, means the gift of God, the grace of God. And we loved her so much, still do. But she grew up so fast. And then our first granddaughter came along. And, you know, for the first 5 years, I called her Hannah. I did, Catherine. All the time. To Isabel, I said, Hannah. Because it had come so fast. Full circle, hadn't it, Nancy? That's Shannon. No, that's Lauren. Isn't it? It's like that. And then before you know it, if I'm still living, the granddaughter's going to be the same way. Our daughter's birth at that point was one of the greatest days of our life. I will never forget that day. I watched her come into this world. I was the first face she saw, the first voice she heard. You thinking I love her? And she loves me. But you know when a greater day came? The day she was born of God. 16 years old or something like that. When she saw His face. When she heard His voice. Now, Mindy, does anything matter? Would it have mattered if she got married? No. Would it have mattered if she bore us grandchildren? No. Would it have mattered if she became a nurse or productive life? Would it have mattered? Not really. You know what? This is the one thing that matters, isn't it? Because some of us know the Lord will take them. And then nothing matters. And if they don't belong to the Lord, her husband, Gabe, before they had a child, he told me this later. He said, I asked the Lord, don't give us any children if they're not your children. What do you want for your children? What would you rather your child be? A preacher? President of the United States? Huh? You know who God says is great? The world says it's foolishness. God says it's greatness. Oh, my Lord had mercy on our daughter. It wasn't me, it wasn't Mindy, it wasn't her. It was the grace of God, the mercy of God, the sovereign electing grace of God. My parents had four. I believe three of them were God's elect. One's not. But it's not over. He might be. Hope so. He obtained greatness in this world, in the education world. Became a history professor. Oh, he's esteemed highly by many. But God rejects him if he doesn't belong to Him. He's rejected. And his life has been no purpose unless somebody, some way, is connected to Him that God's going to bring into the kingdom. And maybe His son, maybe His grandson. Huh? That's right. That's right. And then God's going to discard him. And I'm going to have to say amen. And I'm going to thank Him for choosing me. Like Jacob, like Esau. What do you want for your children? Going by fast. What matters? What matters? Well, where am I? All right, let's look at, in closing, let's look at this prayer again. After it's all over, Zechariah prayed. And just look at it in closing. Verse 68, Zechariah prayed. And there's not really any mention of John, except in here. I like Hannah's prayer. You may know Hannah's prayer, 1 Samuel 2. She never mentioned Samuel. No. It's not about him. It's about God's mercy and grace and God's salvation. Because that's what this world is about. Verse 68, Zechariah said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He hath visited and redeemed His people. He's raised up a horn of salvation in the house of the servant, His servant David, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for His prophets. Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Thank God for salvation. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers. And to remember His holy covenant. Thank God for His covenants. Thank God for remembering mercy. Thank God for remembering grace. Thank God for remembering us. The oath which He sware to our father Abraham. Oh, thank God for His oath, His covenant, His grace. They support me in the overwhelming flood of sorrow and grief and sin. That He would grant unto us, me and my poor wife, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies should serve Him. Oh, what a great privilege and honor we have of serving and worshiping our Lord our God. In holiness and righteousness, thank God He's going to present us holy, faultless, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight someday. all the days of our life, going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and behold the beauty of the Lord, inquire into His temple. Thank God. Oh, yes, and thank you for this boy. Thank you for the child, that he knows you, that he belongs to you, that you've told us he's one of his, yours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Prophet of the highest. Can't get any greater than that, can you? He'd go before the face of the Lord, prepare his way. To do what? What's his purpose in life? Give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Salvation that's for the remission of sin. Through the tender mercy. Oh, the tender mercy of our God. Whereby the day spring, the Son of Righteousness from on high has visited us. Oh, he's given us light to sit in darkness. The shadow of death guided our feet, put our feet into the way of peace, Christ. And the child grew, John, and waxed strong in spirit. And boy, did he live a productive life. It wasn't long, but it was great. And then the next, we're going to start looking. And the rest of this book is about the other one. You're talking about greatness. Whew. It gets better. None greater. All right. What's the closing hymn, Brother John?
525.
Oh, give us homes. Christian homes. Good words. Let's sing all four verses. 525.
Let's all stand.